Well, greetings, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Michaelink. Want to welcome all of you who are here in this rather sauna-like environment, and also those of you who are listening in over the internet. I hope we are going to have lots of people listening in and watching us from overseas, from other countries outside the United States as well, because there's plenty I'd like to say about this world today, and it's hard to even figure out where to start, because so much has been going on this last week alone. Developments which will have a tremendous impact on our future. And before you say, oh, now he is there crying wolf again, just listen. Just listen. I'd like to start with pointing out that we have sent out our update 988. And I want to start, I want to start from the back, that is, with the member letter, which was written by Mr. Niehoff. And in the letter, he's talking about, of course, the upcoming Feast of Trumpets, which is just around the corner. And then, of course, this will set in motion the events pictured by the Feast of Trumpets, the further events of Satan's banishment, and then, of course, Christ's rule over this earth, on this earth, during the millennium, and so on. And he, of course, points out that the Feast of Trumpets will be a very decisive event insofar as what's being pictured there, because right now this world is ruled by Satan the devil. And if you have any doubt whatsoever about it, well, see me after services or write me a memo. In the member letter, he points out that a new book that has been published by us, Evil Empires and Evil People, The Wild Beasts of the Bible, I showed you a mock trial last time. This is a real thing. It was sent out this week. And if you haven't gotten a copy, maybe you're not on our subscription list, please, by all means, write us, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. This book that explains how the world is today, that it is ruled by evil empires, period. Period. Because Satan is the god of this world. And of course, we should pray that God's kingdom may come soon to make an end to this absolute madness we are being surrounded by on a daily basis. And that gets me to the work section in our update. And of course, we are talking about our new Standing Watch program. It's already a second in what may very well be a series, because I could give a Standing Watch program almost every week now about Afghanistan and the debacle going on there and what it's going to do to all of us, Europe, United States of America, all the countries. Because be rest assured, you can expect terrorist attacks all over the world now as a consequence. I have no doubt about that. Now, this is me, right? You may have a different opinion on it, and I may be wrong, but the way things are developing, it looks very much like that. I will tell you in a moment as to why I say that. We say in our Standing Watch program summary that the deadly suicide attacks near the Kabul airport only emphasize how chaotic and catastrophic the situation is in Afghanistan, which tens of thousands of stranded Americans and others being left behind and forsaken by incompetent governments. Now, you might have gotten different figures. I don't believe those official figures one moment. Others do talk about 6,000, 10,000 Americans, let alone non-Americans who helped the American government, being stranded in Afghanistan. There's no way of getting out. We go on to say that especially the UK and Germany are blaming the Biden administration for Europe's embarrassing retreat. And voices are being heard for a reevaluation of Europe's relationship with the United States. And the Bible tells us much about what's going on right now and how it will end. And we have also the same program produced in German as the Auf Posten stehen program, Die Afghanistan Katastrophe, which actually it is. And then we have also posted the other messages which were given last week, both here in the United States and also in Germany. Going from the back to the front, we have a Q&A about The Importance of Prophecy, written by Brian Gale. Now, this Q&A is trying to put it all in perspective. We can talk about prophecy as long as we want. We can talk about biblical principles as long as we want. We can talk about the law of God as long as we want. And we can all have it memorized. We might have perfect knowledge of the law. We might have perfect knowledge of prophecy and prophetic events. But if it doesn't result in action, it is absolutely meaningless. Prophecy is there, and the right understanding of prophecy is there to make us aware how quickly and how soon Jesus Christ will come back, especially now. And that should motivate us to action. The same, if you know about the law of God, you might know it all, but if you don't carry it out, what good does it do? So that's really the purpose of this Q&A, to point out that prophecy all by itself is not what we are talking about. Somebody create all kinds of lists and concepts as to what's going to happen next, and of course some even go into when Christ is going to come back, even though Christ says he doesn't even know, because it's God the Father who will decide it. So it should motivate us to become better persons, really. That's what we are dealing with. And the current events, again, the same concept. We are bringing you these events, these news in the light of biblical prophecy to make you aware how far advanced in the fulfillment of biblical prophecy we already are. And I could talk a lot about the current events this time and what we have all published, and I will talk a little bit about it. You know, it is mind-boggling to realize the total incompetence of not only the American government, by now that has been obviously very well documented, but also the European governments, especially the European governments. And everybody is now blaming everybody else. And an article which I found today is even saying the weakness of Europe is even worse than the weakness of the United States. And that will prompt Europe to finally do something about it. And we are talking about a European army. That's going to come. Some are still ridiculing that idea. Don't understand, of course, what prophecy is telling us. There's also going to be a new election in Germany by the end of this month. Now, the candidates are as weak, if not weaker, as, let's say, President Biden, Kamala Harris, or, frankly, Angela Merkel, because Angela Merkel, at this point, has really reached a point where nobody really listens to her anymore, nobody really takes her serious anymore. And she seems to be doing everything she possibly can to damage the reputation she once had. And we have been saying for years, I mean, I don't know for how long, ever since I came into the church, we talked about this particular individual called the Beast, who is going to come up. And it has to be a person of German or Austrian descent. Most in the church, not our group, but most in the church as a whole, don't even know that. They're looking at candidates at all the wrong places. But we know that it has to be one of German or Austrian descent. Why do we know that? Because he's also referred to as a king of Assyria. And once you know who Assyria is today, you know it has to be somebody of German and Austrian descent. Now, I don't see anyone who is running for chancellorship at this point who would remotely qualify for that position. But you know, there are some who are not running, who are in the background, so to speak. Now, I want to introduce the next comments with a caveat. I'm not saying the one whom I will talk about is the one. But I am also saying don't just dismiss him. When I sometimes bring up this particular individual's name, people, especially in Germany, are telling me, oh, no, he couldn't possibly be the one. I said, why not? And then they have all kinds of reasons as to why not. And so they have preferences. Some feel it's going to be Sebastian Kurz in Austria, even though you haven't heard an awful lot about him recently, have you? And then some say, oh, it's going to be somebody in Germany with the name of Söder. He is the leader of the Christian Social Union, the one in Bavaria, in coalition with Angela Merkel's party. But you see, a Bavarian, in a sense, they're not even part of the German Federal Republic. Did you know that? Bavaria is a free state, called a free state. They have their own systems. Now, historically, you always had a coalition between the German CDU, Merkel right now is leading that, and the Bavarian CSU, but it's a coalition. And I'm not saying it couldn't be anybody from Bavaria, but if Bavarians are listening in, let me just say this, they are kind of a peculiar people. They seem to be contrary to all men, always have been. Franz Josef Strauss, the one who used to be one whom we had looked at in the past, he was a Bavarian. He never got anywhere. Now, there's another one I'm thinking of. Some say it's Gutenberg. Gutenberg was the former minister of defense, but he had to resign in disgrace when they found out that he had plagiarized all kinds of articles to get his doctorate. Now, I'm not dismissing any of them. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not going to say here from the pulpit the following I'm going to talk about is the one, you know, and then later I have to come back and apologize like I had to do one time before with Mr. Trump, even though I have a few things to say about him as well in a moment. But I found this article, somebody actually sent it to me, by the Tagesschau. Now, the Tagesschau, that is one of the two public television stations, most prestigious, most popular, most established ones. Actually, it was the very first one ever in existence. Before then, there came a second one, and then, of course, by now you have all the cable stations as well. And they wrote this, and I couldn't believe it. I almost thought, well, are they aware of more than what they're saying here? Let me just read it to you, and we'll have it in the next update. It was published by the end of July. He didn't really want to be the head of the Ministry of Health. He had other plans. But when Chancellor Angela Merkel offered him the post, he didn't say no. At the handover from Hermann Gröhe to Jens Spahn on March 15, 2018, the young and dynamic new minister immediately declared that he wanted to tackle exciting issues. That was strategically smart because it leaves its mark. And Spahn wants to continue to leave traces. In Berlin, he has long been believed to be the strong man of the union to come. In July 2019, Spahn's steadfastness as health minister will be put to a tough test. His cabinet colleague, Ursula von der Leyen, has been nominated as EU Commission president, so Spahn's dream of becoming federal defense minister is within reach. But nothing comes of it. Merkel appoints Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, another disaster, by the way. So Spahn continues to whirl around in his ministry. He's putting forward an insane pace of reform, a turbo minister. One legislative proposal chases the next. Spahn, the secret hope of the younger generation in the union, the conservatives, for whom Norbert Röttgen is too cool, Armin Laschet too lukewarm, and Friedrich Merz too harsh, leaves the chairmanship to Laschet. There can only be one party leader, which only means that someone has to back off, he explains, knowing full well that his time is yet to come. But then, first of all, there's Corona. And then it talks about his measurements with Corona and the ridiculous restrictions he imposed, leading to a complete downfall of his reputation. But then he's coming back. He's coming back. Most Germans are as brainwashed there as many people around the world, including the United States, are here. And so it goes on to say, Spahn is not one of those people who give in. His stable self-confidence helps him with this. The Minister of Health steers through the pandemic relatively undeterred. He lets criticism roll off. Spahn gives the constant reminder at least once a week. Spahn is unlikely to remain Minister of Health. Not because he didn't trust himself to go through the post-pandemic phase, but he simply feels he is called to higher things. So he is one of those to watch, not to dismiss. There are others, of course, as I said. We don't know yet as who it's going to be. It's not going to be Laschet, the one who, in all likelihood, might be the next chancellor. It could be the guy from the Social Democrats. Somebody says it could be somebody from the Green. I don't necessarily know. It's going to be a disaster anyway. I mean, there's nobody there who remotely is able to steer this ship around because Germany is now being attacked quite a bit. The government is quite a bit attacked for their miserable job they did in Afghanistan. An article today is saying, you know, they waited conveniently to get out, and then when America said they are going to get out, they even got out prior to the United States, totally incompetent in ways where they leave many, many Europeans behind as well. You heard all about the attack. on the Kabul airport. First they said it was two attacks, now they come back and say it's only one. I don't know what to believe, it doesn't matter. You also heard about the drone attack on two ISIS people. I think Mr. Biden wanted to do that to show how tough he was. Of course, all it will do is it will bring out further attacks on both sides. Our articles point out the fact that many believe that Mr. Biden is not even in control, is not in charge, that he is being manipulated or ruled upon by others. They also feel that he doesn't have the mental capacity to go on. There's no way they feel that he will be ever reelected, and he himself knows that. But I was kind of shocked, actually, in light of this background, when Mr. Biden gave a speech on Thursday where he showed how much he was mourning for those American soldiers and others who had died in this attack, and at the same time trying to show again the empathy, saying that I understand because my son has died of cancer. And in a speech like that, it didn't feel too good to me. I mean, it didn't sound like it was really sincere as to what coming out of his mouth. But when he was done with the speech, he introduced the next segment by saying, and I was instructed to call upon four journalists to ask questions. Now, who in the world instructed him? Who in the world is behind what's going on? It was almost like an admission. He wasn't. He is even being instructed what journalists to allow to ask questions. An article by Daily Mail, which I was sent to, I believe it was yesterday, good article actually, says this. This is an America which is still recovering from the Trump years, when they put up with a president regarded as a worldwide laughingstock and national embarrassment. That's talk about Biden. Suddenly, they are beginning to realize that what came after Trump could even be worse. Where there was hope, now I see concern, genuine fear that Biden, failing already at age of 78, will be here for another 3 years. It's difficult to imagine how even Donald Trump could have left a bigger mess in such a short time. And yet the world has another 3 years of Biden at the helm. It's a terrifying thought that, according to former U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, it could be even more bleak. Should Biden step down or be removed for his handling of Afghanistan? Yes, she tweeted. But that would leave us with far-left Deputy President Kamala Harris, which would be 10 times worse. God help us. And then the article says, God help us indeed. That's the kind of scenario we have. That's the kind of leadership we have in this country. Now, in a sense, Donald Trump, you know, and I say this sarcastically, is having a field day. I mean, nothing better could have happened to him than this absolute, total, incompetent disaster caused by Mr. Biden. And so we have an article in here speculating that the Biden debacle will help Trump to be reelected in 2024. Now again, not saying more than that from the pulpit. I can tell you what I personally feel, but that's all I'm going to say in private. But he got to be careful too. Because for the first time, when he gave a rally in Alabama, he was booed by supporters. First time I ever have seen that. Why was he booed? Well, he was booed because he was recommending everybody to get a vaccine. And then people were booing at him. And then he said, oh, well, of course, yeah, you have freedom, but you know, you should get a vaccine. And then they started booing again. Now, if he is going to continue this nonsense, this push for vaccine as Biden is doing, then he could lose very critical votes. So again, we'll see how that all goes. But when it comes to the vaccine, it was now, as you know, and we have talked about this in the update, it was now ordered to the military that everybody got to get a vaccine. While the figures are varying, I heard up to 1/3, if not 1/2 of, I believe it was the Navy, they are not vaccinated, and many have said they're not going to. Now, this was before the order came out. So the question is, what are they going to do? Are they going to risk being fired? I mean, can they fire 1/3 of the Navy? I mean, Biden might have another paper tiger on his hands with that one. But that brings me now to a complete, totally different, and at the same time very related problem dealing with the world of coronavirus. Now, you've heard about all the restrictions, the lockdowns in Australia, in New Zealand, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, Canada, the push for lockdowns or at least mandatory vaccinations in the United States, not to speak of Germany and Europe. Now again, as I said before, Satan is ruling this world. And Satan is doing everything he can to make it a reality that the Church of God, I'm not just talking about our group, cannot keep the feast. At this point, we are still able to keep the feast in Germany at this point, even though some are not going to be able to attend, coming from other countries, and we don't know what the restrictions are going to be. Now, let me say something very clearly. I said it before, I want to say it again, so that there's not be any misunderstanding. I do not feel that we as a church should take a position either or when it comes to vaccinations. It got to be an individual decision. But let me say what I feel. In light of everything I've read, in light of everything I've seen, I personally wouldn't get vaccinated if this means I have to be vaccinated to attend a show of America Got Talent. Or if that means I have to be able to attend a soccer game or a baseball game or any sports. That to me wouldn't be decisive. What would be decisive, however, for me, would be if this would be the only way to keep the feast. Now, there are discussions in Germany that everybody has to be vaccinated in order to be able to attend any function in any hotel. And that, of course, would include us and our feast sites. Now, I don't believe that this is going to happen now, because even the German politicians are cowards insofar as the elections are concerned. They don't want to rock the boat. They want to wait until after the election, which is going to be September 26. But then it appears from everything I've seen that they will come down hard with that. Now, some people have already told me, oh, we are not going to get vaccinated, period. But then that means they cannot attend the feast. And so the question then is, whom are you going to obey more? Your own human reasoning, your own human fear, perhaps, or God, who has commanded us to keep the feast? Now, that's something we need to very strongly consider. You know, it's totally different from just sitting at home and listening in to internet services, which we might be able to broadcast from Germany and also from Rapid City, and to attend in person, if you can attend in person. You know, the church has always taken the position that when we, for instance, send ministers to African countries and they needed to be vaccinated against all these kind of diseases floating around there, even at the time when we were strongly against vaccinations, we said that they should do it because they have a job to do. You know, Paul was congratulating somebody, a co-worker, who because of the work's sake got sick, close to death. And Paul didn't say, oh, this was foolishness, you shouldn't have done it. No, he said, these are the kind of people you should imitate. So that's something I like to get to your attention. You've got to make a decision, but it's got to be based on what God is telling you, not what your own human mind and reasoning is telling you. And you have to have the faith and believe in God that he will protect you when you do what you are supposed to do. Now, as I said, Satan is the god of this world. He is inspiring politicians. He is inspiring governmental leaders. Why do you think it is that you look at all these different countries and they all come up with the same kind of measure and restriction. Why is that? Now, they might be talking to each other, yes. But they're being inspired by Satan. It's no question in my mind. They are clearly inspired by Satan to come up with those restrictions. And it's all for the purpose of, first of all, keeping people in self-isolation, imprisonment. And it's also for the purpose of destroying God's people, and especially when it comes to the holy days. Now, several months, I believe, maybe years ago, we had a Q&A, are lengthy imprisonments and quarantines godly? Now, you might want to read that one again if you haven't for a while, because we point out that it is Satan who is going to be imprisoned. And he will be in prison for 1,000 years. So what he is trying to do is, he is trying to bring that fate, which he knows is waiting for him, to the people of this world today. And far too many are foolish enough to not even see what is going on and what the whole game and purpose is. We say in this Q&A, this brings us to the issue of self-isolation and quarantine for people who are sick and for those who are not sick or who are not showing any symptoms of being sick. The Bible contains provisions for quarantine regarding those who suffer from contagious diseases so they cannot infect others. The idea to place someone into quarantine to protect him or her from others who might be sick is just turning the biblical commands on their head by quarantining the sick together with the healthy, and then we say, and that's even worse when you think of an entire country or the entire world. We had a book that many years ago, A World Held Captive. And of course, the idea is by Satan the devil. Now, of course, at that time, we didn't talk about COVID-19, but that most certainly applies. Now, let me just say this. If you know that you have been in contact with somebody who has COVID-19, even though you don't show symptoms, you know, it would be wise to get a test, at least, however unreliable those tests might be, you know, before you just go out with the possibility, coming to church, let's say, that you spread it. I mean, that would probably be a wise thing, but ultimately, it's still your decision, and you know how you feel, and you know what you can do, and you also know, and we all know, that God is protecting us. Now, I saw an interesting interview by Bild Online. Bild Online, the biggest mass publication over there in Germany. It was actually given by the chief of the Bild magazine. I mean, the highest top guy. And I was extremely surprised about the outspoken and correct statements he made. Now, unfortunately, it's only on a video, so I mean, try to get the transcript and like to publish that. But you see, he talked about, first of all, the debacle, which Biden caused, and the incompetence of the man. He also talked about the German incompetence of the German government and how they saw it coming. They were actually warned that it would be coming, didn't do anything about it. And then he was asked, yeah, so in other words, this must be very disappointing to you that Biden is acting this way now, as he was looked upon as somebody who you could trust and who would actually get America back on track and back into the environment of the world. And to my surprise, he said, I wasn't surprised at all. I never trusted the guy. I felt he was a debacle from the outset. He said, I look back when he was working as a vice president or some position he had under President Obama. And then he said something which was really surprising to me, because President Obama is still looked upon, you know, as a great president in Germany. I couldn't ever understand why, but of course, again, they don't have the facts. And he said, President Obama was the worst president of the United States for many, many, many years, because he caused so much of a debacle, especially when it came to Assad in Syria. And so Biden was right there with him. And what we are seeing now is actually something which, in a sense, parallels that debacle, but it's even worse. I felt that was quite interesting, these comments, very astute, very correct, except you don't hear that much about it in the United States. You almost have to go to German papers, or in this case, a German video or you go to British papers. Because the left-wing mass media in the United States is still very much anti-Trump and pro-Biden, even though they are now realizing their pro-Biden stance is really bombarded with holes. But there are lies which are being perpetrated. Of course, they talk about the big lie of President Trump. Now, history will show whether this was a big lie or something else was a big lie. But there's another lie. I believe it's a lie. Because they are talking about the concept that the Taliban has become so much more reasonable, so much more less violent, so much more trusting. They are totally different from the way that they used to be. And that's why we can work with them. Now they keep talking about, well, we don't trust them. But they work with them. They give them lists of the people, American people, Afghanistan people, give them lists of names and addresses who they then should help to evacuate. Now, what's going to happen to those whom they are not going to be helping to evacuate? There are reports out there that they're going from door to door and trying to find out who is a Christian to kill them. Young girls to use them for terrible things and families to kill. I mean, these are the kind of reasonable and so democratic Taliban. And then when it comes to the attack, which was done apparently by a ISIS group, this is a big lie. I believe it's a big lie. They are saying, oh, well, you know, the Taliban and this ISIS group, they are arch enemies. So there's no way that they could have worked together or that the Taliban had anything to do with this attack. In fact, I have an article in here talking about the possibility that they still don't even know whether the Taliban had anything to do with it or not. But why do I feel it is a big lie? Well, because the Pentagon has now admitted that when the Taliban took over, they opened the prison doors and thousands upon ISIS fighters were released, including terrorists. They were released by the Taliban. So don't you tell me one moment that they don't cooperate, that they are arch enemies. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Now, I said earlier that Satan is ruling this world, that Satan is using governmental officials to do his bidding. That brings up another question. And I'm going a little bit over time today, I believe, but that's all right. It brings up another question. Is it possible that demons are fighting each other? Or are they all united in their approach? Now, they are most certainly united in their approach of fighting God. There's no question about it. I mean, they're all totally, completely against God, filled with hatred. Although we have in our booklet on angels, demons, and the spirit world, given the possibility that some of the demons might still be able to repent, and that some of the angels might still be able to sin. But overall, they are definitely united in fighting against God. But also, are they also united amongst themselves? Now, there are indications in the Bible that that might not necessarily be the case. You think in terms of Daniel. See, there was this demon ruling over one country, and then he was supposed to leave that post because another country and another demon for another country was supposed to take over. And they were fighting. They were fighting with Michael. They were fighting with Gabriel to prevent that from happening. The one was fighting because, you know, he didn't want to let go. And the other one came, of course, he wanted to get that position. So there is this possibility. Why do I bring this up? I bring this up because the governments under Satan's rule are also divided to an extent. They have different ideas. We read about 10 nations or groups of nations. And, of course, they will be divided, it says. They will not really cling together that strongly. So they have all kinds of different ideas, east against west, let's say. But they will be united in their fight against God. And we know that they all will assemble, not just those 10 nations. They also will have kings from the east and so on. They will all assemble in Armageddon. And then they will go towards Jerusalem to fight against Christ. All of them united. And so even those 10 nations will be divided to a certain extent. They will be united. And what we see with the governments today, whether it's Poland or Hungary on the one hand, or Germany and France on the other hand, and then you have all these other governments, they might have different ideas, But they're all united in their fight against God and for Satan. And the coronavirus restrictions are a prime example as to what is happening. Because we know a world government, a dictatorship is prophesied. You see, the beast is not going just ruling over 10 nations. It says the whole world will worship him. The whole world will follow him. We got to keep that in mind. And so that's why we see more and more now how events progress into that direction. And you see more and more dictatorships all over the place. And I tell you what, if Biden or those who are behind Biden could have it, we would have a dictatorship in the United States, as of course Mr. Trump also liked to have one. And he kind of envied Putin a little bit for having his kind of dictatorship. See, we have strong leaders in some parts of the world, but they're all stating and kind of, placing themselves in the wrong directions, like Putin, like Kim Jong-un, and other guys, dictators. But when it comes to the Western world, there's no strong leader, none, zero. I mean, you name one. Think of that guy in Canada. Think of the guy in Germany, or the lady, or France. I mean, they all are struggling, they're all weak. But a strong leader will come, and that's the point. A strong united European army will come. It will get closer and closer, and of course what we are seeing right now in Afghanistan, think about the fact that this will lead to terrorist attacks here on American soil, or a tremendous migration problem in Europe, as they all say it's going to happen. What will Europe do? It's tremendous when it comes to the consequences of the ill-conceived and incompetently handled retreat of the United States and European nations from Afghanistan. One thing leads to a myriad of problems, and we haven't even seen the beginning yet. Now, I'm saying these things because it should make us aware as to how far advanced we are in the development of biblical prophecy. Not for the sake of prophecy itself, but for the sake of understanding how quickly it can be. Now, we have warned for years. We have written about this in articles, Q&As, our updates, our booklets. The time will come, and I mean prior to Christ's return, when we will probably not be able to keep the feast anymore. And God is asking the question, what will you do when that happens? Now, in Germany, I don't know what we are going to say next year. Will we have another feast site next year? I don't know. If God allows it, if God wants us, yes. But it can happen very quickly. It can happen in this country as well. So let's not take it for granted. Some, I believe, take it for granted. Oh, we'll always have a feast site. We always are going to be back, for the feast. Maybe we are not going to be. Some may not going to be. Maybe there is not going to be a feast site. Maybe the coronavirus restriction idiocy will get to the point where everything is going to be prohibited. Who knows? Let's keep that in mind. And let's be thankful to God for what we have now. And let's not take it for granted. Let's not say, okay, I'm staying home. I don't feel like going. And I can just listen in via internet. No, this is not the right approach. This is not the right attitude. This is not what God wants us. We should be in our minds already ready for the trip to go to wherever we want to go. I'd like to just conclude with one statement. There is one older gentleman. He is coming from a country far away, going to an embassy in a country near to Germany to get vaccinated so that he then can go to the feast, so that he can go back to the country he comes out of and from, because otherwise he couldn't go back or would have to go on quarantine for five or whatever weeks, and he has to pay the hotel they are going to assign to him, which is kind of unaffordable. Now, this is dedication. This is something which, on the one hand, you might say, oh, that's foolish. He's all by himself. Now, he wants to. He wants to do it. And I compare that with some who look at this rather lackadaisical and don't really know whether they should go. And, oh, it could be that if I do, I may get coronavirus, as I've heard from somebody, so I better not go. I believe that that is not what is pleasing in God's eyes. So I like to finish with that by just referring you to the editorial by Paul Niehoff. He had the member letter, and he also had the editorial. This time he talked about you shall not covet. And in this editorial, he points out that in the course of history, coveting has been the cause of great suffering. He also talked about, in the light of Afghanistan, I might add now, coveting has been the motive for many wars over the course of history, coveting for land, wealth, or power and control. And then he finally ends up by saying, always remember, coveting can lead to a multitude of sin. And that's very true. So we shouldn't covet what somebody else has, but we should be grateful for what we have.